We are continuing a study on the attributes of God, and tonight, maybe even from the song, you would guess, you would know that we are talking about the attribute of God's grace. You know, I think a lot of times we like to focus on getting what we deserve. We like to focus on our rights, right? We know there's a constitution, and the constitution, you know, I'm not a history guy, I mean a civics guy, but there's a Bill of Rights in our constitution, right? Added to it or something, and there's a couple of amendments, right? And I'll just use one example, no political statement on it. There's, for example, the Second Amendment. And the Second Amendment has the idea of the right to bear arms, to own firearms. And so whenever there's a shooting in our country, you know, which happens way too often, and something senseless will happen, somebody is killed unnecessarily, there will sometimes be a government kind of reach, hey, we should outlaw certain types of firearms, we should limit gun ownership, etc. And there begins to be a big discussion. And many people will begin discussing Second Amendment rights. That is, we have Second Amendment rights. The governments can't take away our Second. And there's a big discussion on it because we deserve the opportunity to own firearms, vote at a certain age, other things that are listed in the Bill of Rights, okay? You say, why do I bring that up? Tonight, we're going to talk about something we don't deserve, and that's God's grace. Most of us are pretty good with, I want what I deserve, but this is a different concept. What are we talking about when we talk about God's grace? Grace, Grudem defines it this way, God's goodness towards those who deserve only punishment. So I'm in a situation where I deserve the wrath of God. I am guilty before God. I deserve to be punished by God. And what does he do? He turns around and he shows goodness to me that I don't deserve. Let's break this down, God's grace. First of all, number one, grace to be grace. Grace is undeserved. It's freely given by God. You know, again, we sometimes argue that I deserve certain things. There's not to have too many illustrations, just real quick. I think those of you that follow college sports knows there's a big controversy going on with image, likeness, and now I have my three letters confused. Image and likeness, name, thank you. Name, image, and likeness, right? Because, you know, let's just take a guy like Trevor Lawrence for Clemson. Back when he played for Clemson, there were guys walking around Greenville with Clemson jerseys, Nike Clemson jerseys that say Lawrence. And Nike would make money off of that sale, and Clemson University would make money off of that sale. Trevor Lawrence would not make any money off of that sale, even though his name's on it. So people have been mentioning the athlete has the right to profit from his own name, image, and likeness. That was in the news today, because one of the very talented high school quarterbacks was promised if he would play football for Florida this coming year, 4 years, they would pay him $15 million. It's a high school kid. And he'll make $15 million if he goes to Florida. And the company said, we're not sure we can come up with $15 million. And so he said, I'm not coming. He'll sign somewhere else. That's the kind of money that's being thrown at high school kids. Whether you agree with that or not, those people are saying, I have the right to benefit off my name, image, and likeness. I deserve it. Grace is completely different than that. Grace is something I don't deserve. God says in Exodus 33:19, I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious and will show compassion on whom I will show compassion. Why does God show grace and compassion to the people to whom he shows it? Because he wants to. It's not like God sits back and says, you deserve it, you've earned it, you don't deserve it, you don't get it. No one deserves it, no one earns it. Grace is always undeserved. It's freely given by God. You say, then what is this thing we call grace? Normally, we look at it in two aspects, okay? Grace is God's unmerited favor. If you've been a Christian for a while, I'm thinking you've heard that before. Grace is unmerited favor freely shown toward us in salvation. So it's this wonderful truth that many of us rejoice in, that salvation is completely the gracious gift of God. Maybe the best love text related to this is Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. What is salvation? It's a gift. How is it given? By grace. It's nothing you could work for. It's God freely giving undeserving people the gift of salvation. It says in Romans 3, 23 through 24, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Being justified is a gift by His grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. All of us have sinned. Definition of sin is right there. We all fall short of the glory of God. You say, well, then how do we become believers? We are declared righteous. We are justified as a gift by His grace. I hope you're a recipient of that gift, but I promise you, you did nothing to earn it or deserve it, or it's not grace. Okay? A third text, Romans 11, 5 through 6. In the same way, then, there has also come to be at the present time, Paul writing about Israel, a remnant according to God's gracious choice. But if it is by grace, it is no longer on the basis of works. Otherwise, grace is no longer grace. So even though Israel as a nation has turned away from her Messiah, Paul makes it clear in Romans 11, there is a remnant. And that remnant is according to God's gracious choice. It is by grace. Otherwise, grace is not grace. So we talk about grace. It's undeserved. Typically, frequently, we're rejoicing in God's unmerited favor that gives us the blessing of salvation. But there's yet a second kind of grace, or a second aspect of grace, that takes us to our third and final point. See, grace is not only God's unmerited favor, guys. Grace is God's unmerited power or ability to live the Christian life. I can show you that in a couple verses. How about this? This is such a wonderful text in 2 Corinthians 12. I think you know Paul had the thorn in the flesh. It was very challenging, very difficult. Three times he prays, Lord, deliver me. Here's the Lord responding. He has said to me, Paul speaking, the Lord said, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weakness so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. So, Lord, would you please deliver me from this thorn in the flesh? The Lord's answer, my grace is sufficient for you. Lord, what kind of grace? Next phrase, power. It's the kind of power I give to people. Remember what we're calling this? Unmerited power. The ability to live the Christian life. We go through times of suffering and we say, Lord, won't you take it away? And sometimes He says, I'll give you the power to handle it. You're going to continue to suffer. But my grace is sufficient for you. Which is really, it's more than this, but it's God saying, no, I'm not taking it away. But I will give you supernatural power. You don't deserve it, but it'll help you. Most gladly, Paul says, therefore I'll rather boast about my weakness so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. How about James chapter 4, 6? It says he gives a greater grace. Therefore, it says God is opposed to the proud but gives grace to the humble. So we don't deserve grace. At the same time, God gives it to certain kinds of people. You say, who gets God's supernatural help? Not proud people. See, proud people who say, I got life figured out, I can handle this, as it were, God says, you got it. Humble people say, Lord, I don't have life figured out, I desperately need your help. Would you help me? I don't deserve it, but I'm asking. And God says that you're exactly the kind of person that I give supernatural power to. That's what we're talking about. James 4:6. One more. We'll wrap up. Titus 2:11 through 13. For the grace of God has appeared. That's in the person of Jesus, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires, and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our, little typo there, of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus. So Christ comes. We see the grace of God in Christ. He brings salvation, and then he instructs us, those who put faith in Christ, what are we supposed to do? To deny ungodliness. How? By the grace of God. And we are to deny worldly desires. How? By the grace of God. And we are to live sensibly, righteously, and godly. How? By the grace of God. And we're supposed to be focused on Jesus Christ coming back. How? By the grace of God. This is what God calls us to do through that unmerited power or ability. So that's why, for example, when Paul just writes to Christians, he could say things like, grace to you. And you might say, well, what do you mean grace to me? Unmerited favor, I'm already saved. What are you talking about? We're not talking about number two, unmerited favor. We're talking about number three, the unmerited power or ability to live the Christian life. We were never designed to live the Christian life alone. In fact, many would say it's impossible to live the Christian life alone. John 15, from 2 weeks ago, without me, Jesus said, you can do nothing. So what does God do? God undeservedly helps people with unmerited favor. He gifts them with salvation. And then he gives them unmerited power so that they can live the Christian life. That's the kind of undeserving goodness God shows to people. Let's pray.